And for the KFSK News Department, I'm Joe Vignicki. This is Borough Business. It's our call-in show, and we're going to talk about tonight's Borough Assembly meeting. Take your calls at 772-3808. I'm joined in the studio today by Mayor Mark Jensen and Assemblymember Jeff Mucci. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, braving the snow. You made it here all right. Well, we've got a big agenda, so let's dive right in. Of course, a lot of the agenda is the reorganization of departments in the borough and the Public Works Department and Electric Utility. An ongoing discussion here. You've had already some votes on it. You've got more tonight. You've got more the following meeting. And I think even beyond that, you'll have other steps to take before this reorganization plan all goes through. Where are you guys on this issue? Has your position changed at this point? Have you heard any new arguments one way or the other that have swayed you to change your mind or made you believe more firmly in how you stand? Mark, we'll throw that one to you first.
Well, I'm still on have the same opinion on this topic as I did when it was first presented to the Assembly in May of 2017. You know, I know this proposal is slated to save us money, but I can see it, you know, not saving us money because we don't have the right personnel in place. Might have to use more consultants, and I just don't think it's a good idea. And there has been a few more letters sent in to be read into the record tonight, one from Dave Carlson. I don't know if that's been sent to the media yet or not, but
I have not seen it yet, but
yeah, I could give you a copy of it. He sent it to the mayor and I forwarded it on. He's got a lot of experience on this topic. You know, he was the mayor and council member for a few years, and then he was the director of the organization before CEPA, and then Four Dam Pool divestiture, mm-hmm. and so he's been involved in the whole thing, and I thought he made some good points in his letter. So
okay.
My mind hasn't changed.
Okay, Jeff, how about you? Any new arguments that you've heard or things that have changed your mind?
Oh, not really.
Okay.
No. I was never a strong believer that it was going to save us money anyway.
Okay.
It was an idea that the city manager had that might be a better way to go, and I'm willing to see how it works out. I mean, even though we do reorganize these departments, there's nothing saying that we eventually might not need an electrical superintendent, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Okay. And tonight is the public hearing on all those six ordinances that actually make the change. So this is people's chance, although they've had chances before to sound off about it, but tonight is when you want to hear from them about this move. And
yeah, exactly. There's public hearing on all of the ordinances for modifying them so this idea fits. Another letter that just came in that I forwarded to the clerk was from Suzanne Wood. She spoke at a meeting not too long back in opposition to this restructuring, and she just kind of, has the same opinion. So, and she thinks it'd be hard in this letter that we'll read tonight to go back if we go forward with this, because just the way it's going to be, public utility or utility director is going to, they'd also have to be familiar with water and wastewater to become our power and light supervisor, so to speak. So I thought she made a good point there.
Okay. All right. How do you feel out there in Radio Land? Give us a call at 772-3808. We'll put you on the air. Give us your opinion. Let's talk about some other issues you're going to deal with. Third and final reading on a couple of new fees for the borough. One is it's been called an administrative fee for the senior sales tax exemption card. I had a caller earlier this morning who wanted me to ask you guys about that fee and charging the $100 amount for it. Are you now going into the territory of just charging a tax for seniors for that card, since it's actually beyond the amount of the $60 amount needed to cover the costs? And should you just call it a tax, or is it fair to even charge that tax? Mark, you've been voting against that because of that reason.
Well, that was my position on it originally when it was presented to us the first time. It was, what was it, Jeff, $60?
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines, and then Member Strand amended it to put up to $100, and after our finance director, you know, told us that it was going to be $60, I thought anything above that would be, in my opinion, considered a tax. So we'll see how it goes tonight in the third reading, see if there's any modifications to the ordinance or not.
Would you vote for it if it was just 60?
You know, I'd still have a hard time voting for it.
Okay. Jeff, why the need for this fee?
Oh, we're just trying, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, they want the city to run like a business. And there are some, I don't know if they're loopholes, but there are some sales tax exemptions that are being used by maybe a lot of folks who don't live here all year round. Maybe they have several, they might have a home somewhere else, and they're only part-time residents of Petersburg. I think it's just an attempt for me is to, I'm not really in favor of the $100 fee. I'm more comfortable with the $60. I just want to at least have a way to identify everybody who's using that card. And not if people need the tax exemption, it's not my intention to not let them have that exemption. But for folks that really don't need it, I'm just trying to sort it out a little bit. And $60 is, it sounds like a better number than the $100 fee. I'm not, I mean, somebody from the public a couple of meetings ago talked about $250, and I think we're kind of heading off in the wrong direction. I'm just looking at what it costs city staff to put that card out, whether or not we want to do it every year or every 2 years or a lifetime thing. I mean, that's the discussion we're having, but $60 is more reasonable for me.
Okay. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
I have a comment, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so you're talking about you probably want to take away these exemption cards or you want to put a big price on it from the senior citizen. But what about all the young people that are ordering from Amazon.com and therefore they're not putting any revenue into this community, they're not paying any taxes into this community, and yet it's the senior citizens that are supposedly running the city broke. Maybe you might consider changing the price of the card when you realize that you can't get all the taxes from everybody. And, you know, I order from Amazon, but I also check downtown before I go to Amazon and see. I do want to support my community, but if they don't have what I cannot get, then I go to Amazon. However, if you go to the post office, you see a lot of people walking out of there with diapers, dog food, toilet paper, all that kind of stuff that they can receive locally. So maybe somebody needs to be up there monitoring and possibly charging them their sales tax. That's all I've got to say.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks for the call. Put me in the camp of people who orders from Amazon and from buys from local merchants too. Probably a lot of people in both camps, but yeah.
You know, I know that excuse me has been discussed in the past, and you know, I can't remember where it went. You know, in the discussion we had, but you know, I don't know if you can charge a fee for things that you order online.
Sales tax. I know that issue has been tested in court in other states. I don't remember off the top of my head how it's gone, but yeah, okay. Well, Jeff, you mentioned the possibility of maybe tweaking. This is your last chance, third and final reading. Maybe going back down to $60 or...
I mean, I can make the case for 60.
Okay.
It's hard for me to make the case for 100. I mean, I know it's a round number, but, you know, if... I can sleep at night with the 60.
Okay. And the other one is the we're calling it an infrastructure fee for on marine passengers. No, it's a passenger fee is what it started as. It's now an infrastructure fee. The attorney has sounded off on that. Whether or not the name changes in final reading, is this one going to pass? $5 a head per person. Jeff, are you voting for it?
I'm voting for it.
Okay.
I'm going to amend it that it's called the Marine Passenger Fee.
And you guys were both at the Chamber of Commerce talk on Saturday night. You heard from one of the owners of a cruise ship company about his thoughts on it. Did that change your opinion at all? Or
For me, no. I mean, I didn't hear anything that said that he's not coming to Petersburg because of the $5 fee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a substantial amount of money, $30,000 or whatever, but it's something. And if we handle the money wisely and spend it for the visitor industry, I don't envision any challenges legally based on what's going on in Juneau. And I think my intention has always been to have it go to the visitor industry, whether it's Wi-Fi connection for down there, increased toilets down in that neck of the woods, or you know, maybe the new ramp that goes down to the a handicap accessible ramp that goes down to the South Boat Harbor. I mean, that's just, it's a start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Mark? Any?
I didn't vote for this last time, and it was mainly because of the wording change, from marine passenger fee to infrastructure fee. And when we first brought this up, I was kind of concerned that Juneau is going through a big lawsuit right now, and this is a fairly similar thing. It's a tax basically on passengers coming to our area. And then we got a letter in opposition from Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska opposing it. They thought it should just be tabled and indefinitely. And he was kind of surprised that we used Juneau's ordinance to draft ours, since they're in the middle of this big lawsuit. So, tonight I don't think I'll be voting for this again.
Okay. And Juneau spent something like upwards of $600,000 defending that lawsuit, too.
They did, but it's a lot bigger thing. It's different. They're using the money from the state head tax fee, which is, I think, $35.50 or $34.50 or whatever it is. So big cruise ship industries are suing them.
And as I understand it, that suit also just challenges the constitutionality of such a tax. So it's beyond the use of the funds at that point. The industry is saying this is something that can't even be done. So... that could impact Petersburg's tax if it goes through.
Right. You know, and the gentleman from Uncruise there Saturday night, Dan Blanchard, he did say that, $5 head tax fee or passenger tax fee, whatever you want to call it, in Petersburg, you've got a $5 one in, every other port that you go to, it kind of adds up. But I wouldn't think $5 would make a person book or not book a trip to Petersburg if, I don't know what the week-long trips are per passenger, so imagine a couple $1,000s plus, I would think.
Yeah, and do you want, Jeff, do you want this to go into place this year? That's one thing cruise companies told me. They'd rather see it 2020 as they already have prices out on, so.
Yeah, not necessarily this year, not this season, but maybe if we could have it take effect in 2019, possibly.
All right. 772-3808 is our phone number. We're going to keep plowing through this agenda. Mark, you are going to talk a little bit about the Conference of Mayors AML meeting you attended last week. Any big news out of that in the capital city?
It was interesting. Senator Lisa Murkowski and Congressman Young were both there, and they both spoke. I had an opportunity to talk with Congressman Young's, one of his staffers, Chad Padgett, and he kind of reaffirmed the discussion that I had back in D.C. a couple of weeks ago with both the senators about some kind of a replacement for the Anacapa in Petersburg in 2022 when the Anacapa gets retired. He wasn't specific, but that was reassuring to have all three congressional delegates on board. The talk of Secure Rural Schools came up briefly. They're hoping that will get funded on the state level. PERS, the discussions there to raise the percentage from 22 to, they don't have the number for municipalities, so that would not help us at all for sure. Couple other things that were interesting, I guess there's a statewide tax being proposed on plastic garbage bags for communities with the APOC has a bill in, Alaska Political Offices Commission, they have a bill in, I think they submitted it. If you're from a community over 1,000, you have to pay $50 to file to run for office. So that I don't know what they plan on doing with me. Just little things like that to keep track of. And I've got a report written down, but
sure.
I can't remember it all.
Those are the big things. Okay.
It was a good visit.
A resolution on changing meeting times back to 6 o'clock for both meetings like it used to be. This is a back and forth. We've had these votes. Some people on each side on the assembly, I think it's pretty well split.
Right. I think Member Mucci was kind of, we talked about this briefly after our last meeting. I've been getting input from the community all along that, they have a hard time attending, if it's at noon, even listening on the radio. And, I understand that if you have a regular job where your employer might not want you to listening to the, you know, KFSK. You probably can't and do your job. But I'd just like to have more public involvement, and I would hope this would do it. But if it doesn't, like it says in our ordinance now, from time to time, you adjust the time of the meetings on the first and third Monday. So I thought I'd put it on there. I tried to do it a couple times, and it didn't go anywhere. So we'll see what happens this time.
Jeff, what do you like for your meetings?
I like the evenings.
Yeah.
You know, if I go to a meeting at noon, I'm usually taking my lunch break at noon, and I don't give it the thoughtfulness that I do in an evening meeting. I feel like I'm rushed to get back to work. I have to take leave when I'm over my lunch break. And I know there are some members of the assembly that, you know, don't like to get out at night, but, you know, we've had work sessions in the past where even 5 o'clock is sometimes too early for folks. So the evening, you know, it seems to work better for me. And I, like Mark said, I want to make sure that the public has an opportunity to show up, because everybody's pretty busy this time of the year, even though there's 10 feet of snow out. So.
Sure. And another reason the noon meeting came into play was allowing Bob Lynn, who came from, you know, out in Dunk Canal there, to get into meetings, and he mentioned it as a reason for allowing public access to people who have even harder commutes than we're thinking about.
Oh, but. Yeah.
I think that's where this originated from when we were doing the borough formation, was to allow people from outside service area 1, Duncan Canal, whatever, that had to commute by skiff to get in. And over the years, I've seen, you know, more attendance at evening meetings than noon meetings. If there's an interesting topic of concern on the agenda, people will make it there. And I'm not trying to make it difficult for people that don't live on the road system. I just want to have more public involved, if that just will do it.
Okay. All right. Let's keep talking about tonight's assembly agenda. You have a discussion on Open Meetings Act and emails that were sent around between assembly members. What are your thoughts? You've seen the borough attorney's opinion on whether this was an Open Meetings Act violation. Do you guys think it was? Do you think there needs to be practices change? Mark, you want to see a different attorney opinion on this? What needs to come out of this?
The reason I thought it'd be a good idea to get a third party opinion, attorney that wasn't affiliated with Petersburg in any way, was Assemblymember Morrell got information from Alaska Municipal League that this was a violation of the Open Meetings Act. During our last meeting, the manager mentioned that the attorney said, well, you're kind of on a gray area here, forwarding emails from one assembly member that was addressed to him personally to the whole assembly, especially if it's on a topic that you're going to be debating in a future meeting and voting on. So I just thought it might not be a bad idea to get another opinion.
Jeff, any thoughts on this?
Oh, you know, I certainly have thoughts, but, you know, like I said at the meeting a couple weeks ago, you know, I'm always looking for information from city staff and the city manager, and a lot of the questions I have or I'm asking, I'm sure other assembly members have similar questions. And like I've said in the past, I never send an email to anybody, whether it's at my job at Fish and Game or with the city, that I don't think that anybody in the public has a right to look at it. And I strongly believe that, and I'm pretty darn sure that I haven't violated the Open Meetings Act.
Okay. All right. There's also the Petro land trade. This is for the old Union Oil property there on South Nordic Drive. Discussion about swapping that for the borough's property where the gas station is, Southeast Island Fuel, and behind that where Petro has a warehouse. It's currently leased by that company. The details haven't all been finalized and all, but guys like the idea of this swap, so the harbor department has a more local or centralized place to do their maintenance and their work out of instead of those container vans that are all around town?
All around town falling apart.
Yes.
The hinges about ready to fall off. I think it's a good fit. I mean, Petro's been very upfront with us and willing to work with the borough. You know, with Petro, I mean, you've been around on the tour of the harbor facilities, and it's substandard where they're keeping all their equipment. I mean, just for them to do a job, I don't know how many places they have to go to get equipment or four-wheelers or pumps, and having a central location for all their equipment and a place for them to work that's warm and dry is going to make them more efficient in the harbor maintenance that's going on. If Petro was willing to help us put that dolphin at the south end of the Petro dock, that's a great thing. It takes a little bit of pressure off the city, or the borough, excuse me, from the visitor industry. They're clamoring that they want more time down at the drive-down dock, and in the summertime, it's chaos down at that drive-down dock, and it seems like a good fit to me.
Okay. And Mark?
I'm not convinced that this is swapping a property is a good idea. I 100% agree that the harbor staff needs a better place to do their maintenance now that we own the harbors, and we just, you know, are more responsible for taking care of them. You know, and in this proposal, there's one of the proposals is a 2,400 square foot building. That seems rather large, but it is just one of the proposals, and the $400,000 price tag that was put on it, I'm not so sure that that's accurate either. But, you know, we've got land. The borough has land that they could put a whatever size building you think you need on it to do the job. I know the one that Petro's offering to swap, it's there. I mean, you could move into it the day the papers are signed. But I just haven't seen a price tag or a dollar figure put on that yet. But like I asked for a month or so ago, what it would cost, what the proposed cost or associated cost with fixing the building to get it up to the standards that the harbor facility wants to see it be. You know, you buy it like it is and it might be functional, but then you have to add, you know, some outside storage or you know, I just haven't seen all the fine details yet. So it'll be an interesting discussion.
Okay. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is for Mr. Nucci. In regards to this reconstruction of Power and Light, I'm wondering, this restructuring has been portrayed as a way to save money, and if I just heard you right, you said you never thought that it would save money. And my question is, why would you support the restructuring if it's not something that you think will save money, and are you just basing that on a roll in the dice that it will, or just wondering why you're in support of that. Thanks,
Adam. You know, we still, whether or not we have an electrical superintendent or not, we're still spending quite a bit of money for outside consultants to answer questions that either the electrical superintendent didn't know about, or they need advice, and I don't think that's going to change. I've said before that if the city manager thinks that this might be a good fit, I'm willing to see how it goes. I mean, we can certainly, you know, do something different in the future, but this might be a good idea. I'm willing to take that chance and see how it goes. I think you've heard at the assembly level that everybody's concerned about safety, and I don't think that this is going to impact that at all.
Is the person out there to fill this job of electrical superintendent if we went in that direction? Is the next Joe Nelson out there for hiring?
You might have to pay more than what we advertised it for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say, yeah, but what it's going to cost us, I don't know. But the end benefits for paying someone, even if it's a little bit more, that's qualified to be in the position, I think in the end run, will end up saving us money.
Okay. All right, speaking of money, there's a huge packet of ideas that came in from the public this past winter. The borough manager has compiled for your perusal, including ways to cut costs and ways to bring in a new revenue. Anything in that packet you like, or the borough manager's own ideas that he submitted, which are wide-ranging, I would call them, and everything they're from the small to the huge, I think, change. Anything catch your eye, ideas you guys like to see or want to follow through on, or now that all that work's been done?
Well, I think, you know, one of the reasons it's on the agenda is because I wanted to see if there was any consensus to have a work session one night and just go through that list and see what the assembly wants to consider and what they don't want to consider. I mean, people spend a lot of time and effort commenting to the borough about what they'd like to see done differently. And I think we have an obligation to those folks to kind of look at all those suggestions and see if we're willing to work to see some of those things changed. So that was my intention.
A full work session to delve into that a little bit.
I would imagine.
Okay.
I would imagine.
Mark, do you any of the ideas catch your eye? Or
There was one that caught my eye, and I think it was proposed by three different people. There was only, if I'm not mistaken, 35 people that commented. You know, I was hoping there would be more input, but just like normal, people are busy with their lives and don't have time. But the one that caught my eye was taxing fishing boats, snowmobiles, all personal property in town. One of the people that interjected in one of these three meetings, his take on it was, if you want to die a slow death, tax fishing boats. And I can agree and disagree with that, but it's I don't think it's a good idea. It's been addressed before in town, and it wasn't very well received. I know we're in a financial situation that's not good, and the future looks even poorer after this meeting in Juneau. Revenue sharing was funded this year, but it might not be funded next year. It's not in the governor's proposal anyway, but I think the House just passed something supporting it for 3 years, I think. So, yeah, I don't know. It's worth looking into. I was, like I said, hoping for more comments, and some of them are repetitive, but you need to go somewhere with it.
Okay, and that information, I think, is available down at City Hall if people want to see it and peruse the ideas themselves. Just briefly, we'll go through a couple other topics. A Division of Forestry 5-year plan for logging. Two of the parcels involved are in Thomas Bay and Frederick Point. You guys are voting on a letter tonight to ask to withdraw those parcels from the 5-year plan. Any further input on that issue or thoughts?
Well, this same situation happened to Wrangell when they were forming a borough, a little bit different, the chain of events, the way it took place. The state at that time didn't offer the land when Wrangell was selecting from VUU land. And then after the state logged it, they offered it to Wrangell, and they didn't want it. But this just came to our attention last Friday, I believe, a Friday before last. So when I was in Juneau last week, I met with the governor, Lieutenant Governor, and Barbara Blake just to discuss a few things. And this was one of them that I brought up. And so they weren't aware of it. I think they were going to communicate with DNR. Randy Ruero in Senator Stedman's office was already working on it because Liz CC'd him the info. So we talked with Senator Stedman and our representative JKT about it. And he's been very active in trying to get a response from DNR and basically just say, just wait until the land selections are finalized before you would allow those parcels to be involved in a timber sale. And looking at the letter, I liked it. I hope we vote to approve sending it forward.
Jeff, you voting yes on that?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Also, you'll be talking about sea otters, management under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. What's the next step forward from Petersburg?
Come up with a position.
Yeah, that was kind of why it's on there. I mean, we're hearing from lots of folks, and I think it'd be a good idea for us to kind of see how we feel and come up with a position, because we are going to be asked to weigh in on it. And I don't know about all the rest of the things that are in the Marine Mammal Protection Act, but I know the otters impacts Petersburg and Southeast Alaska, and something needs to be done. And this is one of the first steps that we can do to come up with our position on how we feel about this.
Senator Stedman just came out with a resolution stating his position, asking for changes from the federal government on this. Mark?
Right. Well, when was it, Jeff? It was over a month ago, I think, we asked for input from the local hunters and native groups and fishing groups, and we've compiled maybe 10 responses, I'm guessing. And I brought a copy of Senator Stedman's sea otter bill back, and so I give that to the clerk. So we're going to have quite a bit of stuff to go through. Wrangell came up with what I thought was a good resolution. I would think if we mirrored a resolution similar to what they wrote, like for co-management, basically, with the native groups, and to be able to potentially harvest pelts And I know there was one local, a letter from one local person, Will Ware, and him and his family hunt, and he was kind of opposed to the harvesting of pelts from what I read in his letter, and he, because of the, it might affect their cottage industry for making handicrafts and selling them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that, so it's going to be an interesting debate, and whether anything happens at the federal level with revisiting the Marine Mammal Protection Act, like Senator Sullivan's talking about doing soon, we'll see if it has any effect. I hope so, because like what Member Mucci just said, it's devastating for fisheries in Southeast.
I mean, I see their handiwork when we're doing dive surveys for gooey duck work in the Craig and the Ketchikan area. It's pretty impressive what they can do underwater. It's really, it's unbelievable, actually. Yep.
All right. What else do we need to cover real briefly? What have we not talked about that the public should know about or tune into for tonight?
Well,
nothing that I can think of.
No, if you come to the meeting, bring donuts because it might be a late one.
Okay, well, thank you guys both for coming in today. The meeting's at 6 o'clock. It's in Borough Assembly Chambers. Chuck Rose is up next with Street Beat Music.